Warning, the following is not for entertainment purposes only. Any defamation of real persons, living or dead, is purely intentional. Copying, distribution, retransmission, or modification of information or materials on this program is without express prior written permission from anyone ever. Unauthorized duplication and distribution may result in civil liberties through criminal enterprise. By any means necessary, please try this at home. Listener discretion is personal. Listen at your own risk.
Listening to the third episode of Inconsiderate, the anti-social audio show with at least a little something to hate for everyone. We'll kick it off with Nothing Matters News, followed by the inconsiderate advice expert Sunshine fielding your pathetic questions. We'll showcase hijinks at the NATO protests in Chicago, including an interview with Vermin Supreme and real-time trolling of marchers. We'll finish up with the Wanarchist poet's bitter contribution called Rainbow Hitler Banging Plato. But first, some listeners submitted their answers to the second episode's poll question, what do you hate most about anarchists, radicals, and punks these days? Jack said that he hates that they actually care enough to hate things about anarchists, radicals, and punks these days. Fucking A, that just sounds like it would be exhausting. Anonymous listener said, two words, identity politics. They'd rather tear down what other anarchists are doing than build up their own shit. And a listener named Connor said, it's almost as if all these fucking kids got together and had a secret meeting about what is and isn't cool to wear, say, and do. And if you stray outside that arbitrary fucking set of rules, you're somehow more complicit in the world's problems than they are. Give me a fucking break. Introducing this episode's new segment is none other than the President of the United States, with some actual excerpts from an audiobook he orated.
So what happens when we go out to a party with some sisters, huh? What happens? I tell you what happens. Blam! They're on us like there's no tomorrow. High school chicks, university chicks, it don't matter. Shit's getting way too complicated for me. There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you. You ain't my bitch, nigga. Buy your own damn fries. Sure, you can have my number, baby. Now, you know that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
It's now clear that the story of life and the story of our planet, which were once seen as separate, are actually intrinsically linked. The evolution of new life has been driven by climate change, by asteroid impacts, and by the slow motion collision of continents. It turns out that we and every other living creature are marching to the drumbeat of our violent planet.
When you stare into the news stares back. Caution, you're about to enter the no future zone. Nothing Matters News starts now, because nothing's news under the sun.
Retired educator Venus Green, an 87-year-old woman in Baltimore, clowned on a shitty racist pig for being a power-tripping fuckface in her home, and then sued the shit out of the city.
And you know how much they gave me?
$95,000.
That is not enough.
In July 2009, Venus's grandson, Tally, was shot and wounded. He says it happened at a convenience store. Police insisted it happened inside Venus's house. And Venus says that the shooter was one of the two of them. Police wanted to go to the basement where Tally lived. Venus said no, not without a warrant.
After a pig tossed this woman around enough to dislocate her shoulder, another oinker waddled into her basement without a warrant or permission, and she penned his curly tail with a lock of the door.
Don't even think about anybody coming for you. Not the doctors, not your agent, not your family, because I never called them. Nobody knows you're here. And you better hope nothing happens to me. Because if I die, you die.
Whether I latch it or not, but this is my private home, and if I latch it, that was my prerogative. Because he had no search warrant to go in my basement, so I had a right to latch it. So they want to go down. I said, no, you don't have a warrant. You don't go down in my house like that. He wasn't shot in here. I'm going to find that gun. I'm going to prove that you did it. He dragged me in there, threw me across the chair, put handcuffs on me, and just started calling me B-name. Mm-hmm, black at that, too. And just ridiculed me. I was once a block watcher, department head of a high school. Been around in education for over 50 years. Abiding citizen, has never been arrested, paid my taxes, owned my home. Husband died 34 years ago, raised my son. and I've been brutally abused. I feel like the police department need to go back to school.
That's okay, Venus. You took his ass to school just fine.
Oh, right down there.
Hopefully the locked basement was a good learning environment because tuition was about $95,000. So, class of 90 swine, what did we learn?
In the past two fiscal years, the city has paid out $16.8 million in claims against the police department. City Council President Jack Young voted against this settlement and others, saying, quote, he's tired of the police department bleeding money.
Looks like folks are tired of the police department bleeding 87-year-old women. Even seniors are starting to fight back, so you'll be lucky if money is all you end up bleeding.
Hit me with your best shot.
Zach Bird was pulled over and arrested for swerving at an officer on the road. He was arrested for failing a sobriety test, and upon arrest, was discovered to have a nefarious amount of cash on him. So he threw an admirable tantrum involving kicking the fuck out of shit in a cop car and spitting blood in their shitty faces.
That's Zach Bird going berserk in the backseat of an FHP cruiser. He was driving along the 417 early Sunday morning when investigators say he nearly ran a trooper off the road. Bird was pulled over and failed a field sobriety test. Troopers then searched his pocket and found $40,000 in cash and another $14,000 in the car. Bird was then put in the cruiser as he goes on a rampage, banging his head into the plexiglass. He then starts kicking wildly and again bangs his head, and he just keeps on screaming.
At least with that amount of cash on him, he can more than afford the $300 of damage his face of steel apparently did to the vehicle. Anesthesiology is his profession, so maybe that explains his super-powered face. After banging shit the fuck up with his grill, the pigs made the wise decision of taking him back out of the vehicle so he could then spew his blood on them.
Troopers, concerned Bird may seriously injure himself, pulled the handcuffed man back out of the cruiser.
When they got him out of the vehicle, He then spit blood all over one of my sergeant's faces.
Bird was facing a DUI, but spitting blood now means he's charged with resisting arrest with violence, as well as property damage since he broke the glass with his face. All this over the money.
When they eventually got him to the hospital, he kicked the light above his bed, threatened officers and staff, telling the pigs he could take all of them, and warning them that he had weapons at his home. The following is the respectable Dr. Bird's fit of rage in the cop car, including the thuds of his face on the glass, and him accusing the pigs of what they were actually most likely doing, stealing his fucking money.
All the officers stealing my money. Stealing my money.
What's up?
Hey, stop banging your heads.
What's up?
Stop stealing my money.
Hey.
Stop stealing my money.
Officer Lynch and Officer Castleberry are putting money in their pockets.
Former judge Donald Thompson lost his job, lost his pension, then served jail time after being caught using a penis pump and banging his gavel during court proceedings.
After serving 20 months in prison, former Oklahoma judge Donald D. Thompson will lose most of his judicial retirement pension. The state Supreme Court ruled on Tuesday he violated his oath of office by using a penis pump while on the bench during trial. Those felonies violated Mr. Thompson's oath of office.
All rise for Honorable Judge Thompson. His court reporter testified that she saw him expose himself at least 15 times during trial. He used the penis pump at least 4 times. During a murder trial, a police officer noticed a plastic tube disappearing up his robe, and they later took pictures of the pump under his desk during their lunch break. The robes, chair, and bench all had semen on them. So if the criminals don't get off, at least the judge does.
Court reporters observed the felonious exposure of Mr. Thompson's private parts and testified to the fact during the criminal trial. Thompson served for 23 years and, according to Tulsa World, was earning almost $8,000 a month before being arrested.
Objection sustained. Old Judge Thompson had plenty more criminal antics in store for us after his jail sentence. The prosecution won't be the only thing that rests, since there will be no penis pumps where he's going.
Not only that, but as Tulsa World reports, after being released released from prison in 2008, Thompson's had numerous additional run-ins with the law. Still pending is a felony charge for driving under the influence following a July 19th traffic stop. The DUI was filed as a felony because it was his second alleged alcohol-related offense. He was also charged with stalking earlier this year.
He's probably wishing for a pension pump at this point, but he'll still get retirement benefits for previous work as a legislator. So at least he managed to squeeze something out of the system.
Blood is rushing into your muscles, and that's what we call the pump. Your muscles get a really tight feeling, like your skin is going to explode any minute. You know, it's really tight. It's like somebody blowing air into your muscle. It just blows up, and it feels different. It feels fantastic.
Hello, it's me again, Dr. Sunshine, here to have the displeasure of answering your fucking questions once again. This week, we got one really stupid question, and several others at the last minute that really aren't very good at all, and I shouldn't even bother answering, but I'll give you a few quick little responses. First question. Hi, I have a conundrum and need some real anarchist advice. I think I'm an anarchist because I read some Foucault in a philosophy class last semester and I work at McDonald's. Blah, 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 bosses are bad, I don't eat meat, want to feed the poor people in my neighborhood because I'm a privileged fuck. I think I might have to commute 45 minutes to work, blah, 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 I have a car, I don't like it, Derek Jensen doesn't think cars are good, whiny, whiny, whiny. What should I do? Where the fuck did you get the idea that there are real anarchists around here in the first place? Anyways, you sound like a little whiny baby privileged dick-footed brat. Foucault doesn't like you and neither do I. If you want to make me like you, do the following and record it. Send it in. Steal 50 hamburgers. Mush them together. Shape them into a giant circle A. Pull the oil out of the fryer and pour it over your boss's head. As he is screaming, take his keys, light the car on fire, and chow down on the anarchy burger you molded for yourself. Eat all of it. Scream, "What should I do?" at anyone looking at you. When you feel the urge to shit rivers and puke, make sure to roll around in it. Get real mushy and cozy. If you do this, you have a chance of being loved by someone. Otherwise, just keep jacking off to mediocre theory and hope for a paper cut big enough to kill you. All right, in the series of really bad questions, first, Clayton, why shit so fucked up? Well, I like shit to be fucked up, and I like doing fucked up things. So, probably, it's your fault, because you're asking this stupid fucking question instead of fucking shit up yourself. Carl, do you think there's such a thing as luck? Well, apparently not, Carl, or this question would be a hell of a lot fucking better. Clayton, what is love?
Love is that feeling when you connect eyes across the room, and you get that tingling feeling from your head to your toes. You get that little flutter in your heart, the little butterflies in your stomach. And then you bat your eyes and you smile and you know, this is it. This is the one. No, that's not really it at all. It's all really fucking bullshit. All it really is some chemicals that make me look at you and you look at me and think, I want to fuck this person. And if you're lucky, the chemicals keep going and you keep fucking. That's it. Isn't it romantic? That's it for this time. Send me more questions if you want a better segment, but they probably won't. And if you do, they'll probably suck. So good luck. Once again, I'm Dr. Sunshine. No thanks to you.
Boy, it's better to be by yourself, oh man. It's better to be by yourself, boy.
People converged in Chicago to dick around pretending and wishing they could effectively protest and confront a military alliance of 28 nation states known as NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Inconsiderate had a field reporter on site to document and experience the embarrassing failure firsthand.
What is your favorite part of marching in circles for days on end, over and over?
It's one hell of a way to get exercise.
Cool, so we're heading to the mayor's house. Are you planning on any specific personal cognitive dissonance type techniques to help you be comfortable with not accomplishing anything after this?
I'm from Illinois, so I mean, just keeping in mind that we're fighting for like my people.
Do you have any strategies in mind on how to fight for your people?
Go out there, have a good time, and make some noise. I don't know.
How do you plan on responding to police aggression? I noticed that you don't have any gas mask or anything like that. Do you have any superpowers?
Well, to be honest, it just
The people that I know in my family, they are a part of law enforcement, lawyers. So that's how I'm going to respond to the police here in D.C. If one of them get loud, I'm going to take their badge number down like I was told and just send it to my lawyer.
Cool. So when the politicians let those cops go without any action whatsoever, are you going to feel disappointed or is this a step in awakening the public?
I have to say it's kind of awakening to the public, to be honest.
Cool. What are you most afraid of confronting in the next few days?
Probably the roaming weapon called the LRAD. It makes your guts kind of funny. I understand it makes you get bubble guts, like you want to fart, shit, whatever. It makes you lose everything right on the fucking spot.
So you're basically afraid of, like, shitting your pants in front of a bunch of strangers?
Well, I'm afraid now of the police and their tactics with or without the LRAD. Like always, they're the first ones to get violent. It's not like we ever get violent. I'm just tired of us getting hurt. It's not like we've ever gotten violent with them.
I'm gonna say that's too bad, but cool, yeah. Do you have any ideas on how you're going to stay safe when the police get violent? I notice you don't have any gas mask or anything on. Do you have any superpowers?
Yeah, my superpower is my heart for humanity.
Wow!
To try to put a voice to the occupation so that people just don't run around saying that we don't know what we're talking about. The media would only interview people who were running around partying or people who didn't really know what was going on. And that's partly because the mainstream media does not want the general public to know exactly what's going on.
What would you say is your least favorite part of anarchism?
I don't know that much about it. I'm not an anarchist. I never have been an anarchist. I actually think that probably government is needed, certainly to provide social services. It certainly isn't needed to provide military services.
What would you say is your least favorite type of protester that you've seen out here?
I don't have a least favorite. I'm not a pacifist, and sometimes pacifists piss me off.
Yeah!
Well, no inconsiderate field reporting would be complete without on-site, live-action trolling. Listen as our expert operative derides and chastises a goofy dingbat mid-March and follows through with professionalism in a direct interview after the incident.
Wait, tell me again how you're leading the march as an anarchist. You're leading an anarchist march? I liked the part where you said that you're an anarchist just like me, and then you called me bro. That was sweet. I enjoyed our connecting moment there. All right, see ya. Okay, so tell me again about how I need to look up my politics and you as an anarchist have, like, this expertise about my lived experience.
Yeah, there's nothing about that I said. It's well, part of it involves you asking people and interviewing them stuff while they're trying to have a fun time doing a march.
Oh, have a fun time doing a march.
Well, folks, you heard it here first on Inconsiderate. The debate on tactics has been settled. The most effective way to combat a military alliance of 28 nation-states is to have a fun time. In the spirit of groundbreaking reporting, our field reporter asks the hard questions, like, whose street? And expects answers.
Hey, I was wondering if you could tell me whose streets exactly are these?
I guess it's in dispute, isn't it?
Good answer. Officer Estrada, can you answer what's your favorite part of beating up protesters? All right, they're not saying anything. Protester Moreno, what's your favorite part of beating up cops?
The squeal at the end.
Tell me about police beating people will make them change over time.
Yes, police brutality is, I feel personally, an unfortunate necessity. Because what will happen is, through persistent use of police brutality towards protesters, over time, who knows how many months or maybe even years, at some point in their mind it will click and they will turn against themselves in this and they will say, I can't do this anymore.
Even though that person might be doing good, their brother-in-law is not doing good. Now they're like, shit's bad. And now they're rallying around with this whole Occupy thing. They've got all these people come out to the streets because finally the people that were privileged, basically I'm just put it like this. People of color knew shit was fucked up. We needed white people to lose their job. When white people finally got hit and they started losing their jobs, then it became a panic. You know, like, oh shit, shit's fucked up. We gotta do something. And I'm like, well, I was in the soup kitchen line already. Knowing me, you know, I already knew it was fucked up. I gotta tell you about this shit. Now you're overcrowding my soup kitchen line. But I'm happy to see that you're here. But just don't leave when you get that job.
Hey, I was wondering, could you say for me, how much yoga does it take to get the cops to go away?
I think the cops are never going to go away because they just like to beat our asses.
Yeah, I think the cops don't go away because instead of beating their asses, we do yoga.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we should be beating their asses, but I don't really like to advocate violence against individuals.
Yoga fire!
This friendly fascist has officially run for president 3 times and got 149 votes in the 2004 primary. And he's run for mayor in many different cities shit tons of times. Randall Terry, the founder of the abysmal pro-life group Operation Rescue, was turned gay via pixie dust by this trustworthy tyrant. This pony platformist's most recent stunt was clowning on Ron Paul by challenging him to a panty wrestling match and calling him a chicken. Inconsiderate brings you our exclusive interview with the biggest rat in the sea of rodent politicians, Vermin Supreme, the boot hat brandishing anarchist on site at the NATO protests in Chicago.
Sure. Vermin Supreme.
Yeah.
So if you're elected, do you plan to redistribute all the ponies of the current NATO leaders to the countries that they're bombing?
I believe that would only be fair. Of course, they will be weaponized ponies, but that's fair also, I think, because we do have PARPA, the Pony Research and Development group, that is working on more weaponized ponies, flying ponies, exploding ponies, all that good stuff. But I think the real question here is, why do we have a need for a North Atlantic Treaty Organization when, to the best of my knowledge, the North Atlantic Ocean has never been invaded by any country? Nobody's attacked the North Atlantic Ocean other than various polluters. And so what do we really need this organization for? That being said, I'd be happy to take it over once they do, in fact, surrender unconditionally to my might. And once they do, in fact, surrender unconditionally to my might, I will begin preparations for an immediate, imminent invasion of Narnia. Because the Narnians are dirty bastards. The Narnians, they own too much American debt. The Narnians have been taking American jobs. I do not trust those talking lions. And White Witch is my ass. I'm sorry. So obviously the Narnians are a direct and imminent threat to American democracy. And therefore, we must prepare for an imminent and overwhelming invasion against their resources.
So I was wearing all black yesterday, and I saw you with the megaphone directed toward some other kids that were also in black. Ironically, you know, it's just like it was almost like a block.
It's a very popular color.
Yeah. And you definitely said solidarity and ponies. I was wondering if you could address your thoughts on the anarcho-communist system of pony distribution.
Well, I believe to each a pony, and according to their needs, from each, depending on whether they have ponies. If they have ponies, we can take them away from them, and if they don't have ponies, we can give them ponies. But then once you take away the pony from the person who had a pony, they no longer have a pony, and therefore we must take other ponies away from the people that we've just given the ponies to in order to fairly distribute the ponies until we really have enough ponies going around. Perhaps there's some sort of pony sharing program or simply pony
like those cars they have in San Francisco and stuff.
Yeah.
You can just share the car, drop it off.
Correct.
Somebody else.
Zip ponies, maybe.
Yeah. Zip.
Now, of course, the fact that they are federal pony identification system would imply that everybody needs their own federal identification pony with them at all times. But of course, that's a very transitional thing because once let me tell you this, Ponytopia is going to be a beautiful place, but it's going to take some time to get there, and it will not be an easy road. There will be hardships. Not everyone will make it. But when we get there, it's going to be a very, very beautiful place. Once again, it's an absolutely free pony program. There may be some administrative costs involved with the federal hay stamp program, the pony security program, and the national pony healthcare system. But when your freedom and liberty taxes go through the roof, you'll hardly notice it, quite frankly.
the important thing to realize is that once we have universal pony ownership, then we have pony equity. We have equity in our ponies. And once we have this equity in our universally owned ponies, then we can borrow against it. So we're creating pony-based debt. And once we have a system of pony-based debt, then we can bring in the bankers to create an entire system of really hard-to-understand and complex financial transactions based on this pony debt, and then we will create a giant pony bubble in the economy. And what could possibly be better for your economy than a giant bubble? So once again, it is a jobs creation program. It's a job multiplier program, and it's just going to be a beautiful thing when we all have ponies.
Well, what about like lazy slackers like me? I'm not interested in a job. Can I just ride a pony around and laugh at the people working?
Well, of course you can.
Okay.
Of course you can. I mean, we'll be tracking you.
I mean, and so what do you say about this? I'm in favor of an economy based on dibs and nose-goes. How can we apply ponies to a dibs-based system?
Well, that's a very interesting question, and I believe it's completely compatible. I believe it can simply work with ponies. You just change those words for ponies.
Okay.
I dibs that pony.
Yep. Thanks.
You're certainly welcome. Solidarity and ponies for all.
We don't want this next feature to set a standard, so none of you other motherfuckers better think it's okay to send in your poetry, especially if it's read in the most predictable open mic-esque cadence as possible. That said, he says some alright shit, I guess. So here's the Wanarchist Poet's piece called Rainbow Hitler Banging Play-Doh.
Die, you empty void, crushing into a blistering and whirling wormhole sent from some ungodly place where faces suck in the essence of men, women, and children to be turned into blackness. Emptiness and all the things that await men after death. The outline of every interaction, the pointless vain vanity. We all the humans, figment of some man's brutal, slavish creation. Cogs in his equations, peripheral reflection in his mirror like gnats annoying a rotting carcass. And a sad, fragmented mind struggling in a pruny, decaying physical body. Basting in a stew of bodily fluids and some ungodly aromatic human preservative. Thick stench of the near death from an organic sac that was once filled with a livelier condensed mass of human meat fills the room. Sterilized hands and a handle with care tattooed on their forehead. Minor electrical activity persisting in the brain, residing in some forgotten storage facility for the elderly, with liquid potatoes au gratin and apple pie are force-fed through the nose of Helen, grandmother of today and daughter of Anne. Mumbling in the common area, his mind so fragmented they're unable to put a spiteful sentence together to express all the bitterness in their broken, black, little beady heart. He sneaked a peek behind the old woman's shoulder. Never before had he had a glance at her face. You always appear to be seeing from the corner of your eye. Recognizing her was not relevant nor essential to your persistence in that place. That mirror that had occupied so much of their time for years, staring into their reflection, muttering rhythmic, broken insanity is interrupted only by the occasional enveloping feral fit of rage. The only time you could tell they were still human is when their remaining canines drew blood from your arms and you picked them up off the floor. But you looked into the mirror, fight or flight primal instinct, and faced by the void. All the training thrown out the window like a teenage pregnancy baby, smashed with a baseball bat stored underneath your car seat. Case of an emergency situation where you absolutely needed to roll some fucking heads. Smashed like kicking a wilted watermelon full of chicken bones, pus, and old man mucus, sopped through the air, and cast your reflection, representation, identity into a thousand little mirrors shattering into themselves, projecting the compounded image of you a thousand times over and over and over and over onto one another simultaneously as they fly through the air, creating a cloud of reflected images multiplied into infinity, individual cells of you existing within themselves, within each small little piece fracturing smaller and smaller into nothing at all until the totality of the shards at the floor beneath my bloody dancing feet.
The stomach churns with the yearning for burning buildings, death and rage at the slave factory we all live in, but most of you are so fucking dumb, brainwashed, and distracted to give a shit about such high and noble virtues as freedom from a totalitarian war machine dominating a currently shit-infested planet, plotted and parceled out into corporate fiefdoms, capitalist feudalism, owned by the oligarchy who's taken a metaphysical shit on your existence daily since the moment of the grunts, moans, squirts, sweat, cum, piss, and shit of your inception. So frequently that you luxuriously bathe in it, love it, worship it as sacred, and call your submission rationality. Human farming, they allow you to exist, and as long as you serve their interests. You slave, you fucking slave your whole life for paper with faces of slave owners, and pyramid built by slaves, radiantly reigned over by the enlightened eye capstone. They make sure to lay it all out in front of you, make your enslavement so obvious it's unavoidable, and leave you with the choice of how many fingers are in the hands that hold you down and rape your conscience. A few scraps, maybe a small square of land by the time you die an in-depth serf. People in the know just do the same, all of us. No heroes here. No, you're not a fucking hero either. We all want to be the great episodical fable for ages to come. For Reese to be put at our toes for infantum. We all seek to become gods. We all seek to become worshipped. We all have a little bite-sized mini Hitler in the back of our head screaming Sig Heil so hard, veins popping, eyes bulging with pressure. Rainbow Hitler riding a unicorn, bending Plato and delicately massaging the Seven Horsemen's balls. Black Hitler shooting up dope with nuclear weapons, indulging in orgies of starving Ethiopian famine-stricken children, and white phosphorus-deformed Palestinian babies drenching the blood of freshly slit throats of a choir of flailing doves. Goth fag Hitler cutting himself to feel close to Jesus in the cathedral. The cult follows you in your dreams, behind your thoughts, the invisible hand of Adam Smith, the dark side of your schizophrenic bipolar personality disorder. You just don't have the courage, strength, or focus to become your own god. Death is hung on a cross, sold, bowed down, and worshipped to. Death in the junkie culture is alien as life, which has become so painful as to neutralize itself into a mechanistic daze of physical motions performed only to perpetuate its union's own physical continuity, staving off a much more meaningful ultimate dismemberment of you. It is the organic stampede, the single body, entity, being that is the herd, the mass, the consciousness, and the factory farm of civilization. Tamed, not real, as seen on TV, removed, an image not lived, extinguished. The information age brings psychosis. War input, not enough arson. Souls and people becoming old, but plastic mummified bodies of celebrities are lived in and never seen to age. Greek gods smiling benevolently until one day they suddenly croak. But the dead never seem to die anymore. They haunt you like hologram Tupac advertising Sprite and selling you Adidas at Foot Locker. Your pop culture idols are bygone relics from an age and time that is forever gone, and you are the sad necrophiliac digging up their grave. You're a supple calf, a savory piece of veal, and I'm gonna cut your head off and eat you for my last supper meal.
That does it for episode 3 of Inconsiderate. Send contributions, questions, and death threats to inconsiderateaudio@yahoo.com, inconsiderateaudio.anarchyplanet.org, or hit us up on
Facebook.
Don't forget to drop a comment answering this episode's poll question. What's your favorite thing about taking the stupid fucking government's welfare and food stamp money? We ask this because this episode's finale is a conservative parody anthem that derides food stamp recipients. Inconsiderate finds no difficulty in transposing the meaning to our own ends. When taken literally, it's an anthemic inspiration of our time. It's free! Swipe your EBT.
Girl, what restaurant accepts the EBT cards for the hot food? Jack in the Box, KFC, Subway, El Pollo Loco, Rally's Burger, most of the donut shops, the burger stands, Woody Barbecue, all the fish markets, some of the beauty supply stores on Crenshaw, and Rainbow on La Brea. You can buy you some clothes. How much you got on your EBT card? Girl, I got enough to get it turned up. I done took the kids to the babysitter. Which liquor store take the EBT card? Where y'all get that Patron last time?
Public service announcement. This is where the taxpayer money goes.
It's free. Swipe your EBT.
Free welfare, free dental, free food. Mama say she can't take me to school. Why am I hungry and we get free food? Free housing, free daycare, free clothes. This is where the taxpayer money goes. Ooh, a booger in my nose. We all share chonies and socks. Then mama check come in the mailbox. All you have to do is fuck.
And 9 months later, you're getting a big buck. But all you have to do is fuck. And 9 months later, you're getting a big buck. All you have to do is fuck. And 9 months later, you're getting a big buck. But all you have to do is fuck.
It's free. Swipe your EBT.
If they don't get their money, they gon' kick your butt
at the county building.
In line.
It's too late. They not passing out any more vouchers for Section 8.
It's too late. They not passing out any more vouchers for Section 8.
They turn me away.
All you have to do is fuck. And 9 months later, you're getting a big buck. But all you have to do is fuck. And 9 months later, you're getting a big buck. All you have to do is fuck. And 9 months later, you're getting a big buck. But all you have to do is fuck. And 9 months later, you're getting a big buck.
It's free. Swipe your EBT. Free. Swipe your EBT. Free. Swipe your EBT. Free.